What is going on, everybody? This is Mike Hughes, and you're listening to Mike on the Mic and everything Chicago Sports Related Podcast. Today is October 30th, 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just one day away from Hallows Eve and the three-year anniversary of Mike on the Mic. I already made a video earlier with the Mac is Back video talking about Khalil Mack versus the Chicago Bears last night, talking about how grateful I am for you guys, talking about what it's meant to me the last 3 years. So I'm definitely not going to try to bore you guys with that again. I know a lot of people probably skip through that, but I do want to say yet again, thank you guys so much for the last 3 years. 15 plus thousand followers between the Instagram, the TikTok, YouTube, and all of our Spotify listeners. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. It is absolutely crazy. So again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for being a part of the journey, and I can't wait to see what year three has in store for us. But let's get into the video today. Obviously, if you read the title, Juan Soto to the Chicago Cubs is rumored all throughout the city right now and all throughout the MLB, not just the Cubs, but every single team is interested to see what the San Diego Padres are going to do with the 25-year-old superstar phenom who is on 1 year left on his deal, a year after acquiring him in a trade to the Washington Nationals, where they traded the number one pitching prospect in baseball in Mackenzie Gore and a top three shortstop prospect in all of baseball in CJ Abrams. They also traded away Luke Voit and a couple other pieces as well to acquire both Juan Soto and Josh Bell, who, if I'm not mistaken, Josh Bell is on the Marlins now. I know he spent a lot of time in Cleveland in the first half. I believe him and Jake Berger were the ones that went to the Marlins, if I'm not mistaken. But nonetheless, we don't expect Juan Soto to come lightly. I've seen a lot of quote-unquote experts and a lot of voices and personalities throughout Chicago speaking about what they could potentially offer for a guy like Juan Soto, and it is horrible. It is awful. Oh, well, he's on a one-year deal. Oh, well, he's not a position player. Oh, what? Stop. Stop it right now. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You need to understand what this kid is. He is a three-time All-Star, a three-time Silver Slugger, a 2019 World Series champion. In his rookie year, he was the face of the franchise, a home run derby champion, has a batting title. He is an absolute monster with a 28.7 WAR and 2,704 at-bats. He has 768 hits, 160 home runs, and a career 284 batting average. In 2023 alone, he had a 275 batting average, which is 35 home runs and over 100 RBIs. An absolute monster. Juan Soto was an absolute monster last year. 12 stolen bases, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, the kid is a dog at the plate. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. So here's the thing, right? Here's the thing that really just kind of makes me question where a lot of people are at right now. You could say, oh, well, he's not going to be worth the world because he's not locked up for the next 7 years and they're going to have to re-sign him. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter to the San Diego Padres. Here's what the San Diego Padres say. If I'm the San Diego Padres and the Cubs or the Yankees or the Dodgers or whoever it may be comes asking, hey, listen, we don't want to give up a farm piece. We don't want to give up a top three, top five prospect because he's only on a one-year deal. Okay, well, then don't. Somebody else will. Somebody else will. Somebody's going to get desperate enough to do that. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, all of these guys are entering their 30s. The Yankees do not have a large window for the future. I mean, let's just be real. They have a great farm. But right now, as the current roster is constructed, not a lot of those guys are going to be the same player they were 3 to 5 years from now. They need somebody to impact their organization right here, right now. Chicago Cubs are in a very similar situation. If Cody Bellinger is good as gone, you need somebody to fill those offensive woes, or that lineup is going to shrivel. That lineup is going to shrivel. That's just being real. Cody Bellinger had an MVP caliber season for the Chicago Cubs, easily their best player. You take him away, how many wins do you take away? You take him away, who's the face of the franchise? You know what I mean? And that's being real. I mean, Dansby Swanson, that's fine. Gold Glover, World Series champion. But he's not better than a former MVP, a guy who's been in the World Series 4 times, a World Series champion, a Gold Glover, and so much more in Cody Bellinger. Juan Soto has those intangibles. Now, I understand, doesn't play a position. He's also not off. Mind you, in 2019, he was playing in the outfield. He was not a liability whatsoever. Is he great out there? No. Do you want him out there? No. You know what I mean? There's a lot of levels to it. But I will say this. You know, what a lot of people don't talk about is, what have you done for me recently? 35 home runs, 275 batting average, over 100 RBIs. I mean, this is a guy that you could look at and say, he can be the face of my franchise. And like I mentioned earlier, when you give up number one prospect in Mackenzie Gore, CJ Abrams, a top three shortstop prospect in all of baseball, you have to sit up there and wonder what they want in return. Because it's just a year apart, and he had a phenomenal season. If you think for a second, I heard somebody talking about, oh yeah, Christopher Morel and a low-end prospect can get this deal done. You're crazy, bro. You're crazy. You think they're going to give up what they gave up, still having a 25-year-old under control for the remainder of the season? One of the bigger free agents. And what people don't talk about, and if you know ball, you know ball, it is so much easier to re-sign a free agent when you show him, hey, listen, we're going to trade for you. We want to make you comfortable. We want you to already be here, and we don't even want you to leave. It's 10 times easier to convince Juan Soto to join the Chicago Cubs in free agency of 2025 when he already spent 2024 here. Hey, man, look, you had so much success. Look at a guy like Cody Bellinger. Had so much success here. Hey, man, listen, we get it. You're a free agent again. We want you here. You had success here. We had success here. It can work. It's so much easier than pitching something that they don't know how it's going to pan out. Case in point, Jason Hayward gets pitched the idea, you are going to be one of the faces of the Chicago Cubs. Absolutely horrible career. Didn't ever play here before. Wouldn't have known that was going to happen. Not saying that you're going to know what the future is going to look like after one season, but it's a lot easier to get a better idea of, do you like the city? Do you like the atmosphere? Do you like the fan base? Do you like your teammates? So much easier that way. You're not going to sit up here and give Brennan Davis and some Cole Franklin level prospects for a guy like Juan Soto. It's just not going to happen. And Christopher Morel is cool. But here's the thing. Here's what nobody's talking about. Christopher Morel and Juan Soto are the same fucking guy. But Juan's 10 times better. I mean that respectfully. Like, I don't mean to sound like a jackass. I don't mean to sound like a jerk. But neither of them can play a position relatively well. They're both DHs. That's just what it is. Christopher Morel last year, 26 home runs, 247 batting average. He's just nowhere near what Juan Soto is worth. I mean, look at Juan's WAR. 28.7 to Christopher Morel's career 2.4. I mean, it's no disrespect to Christopher Morel. I love Morel. I love what he is for this organization. But he is not the deciding factor into acquiring a phenom, an all-star, a fucking superstar in the making. Pardon my language, but that's just what he is. Juan Soto is a dog, a bona fide stud. Christopher Morel, I feel like, is a stud in the making. I truly do feel that way. But I don't think they value him that highly right now. You cannot base that off of it. Also, San Diego has more than enough DHs. I don't think they want another one. But if I were to look at what they can do right now, I think there's a couple conversations for the Chicago Cubs where you can see where they're trying to go moving forward. I think that's really important to see what the needs are for the Padres. Now, one thing I do think is their catching position. Their catching position is very interesting to me. Now, their number one prospect right now is currently Ethan Salas. Ethan Salas is currently their number one prospect. Forgive me if I pronounce both of those wrong, but you know, he's somebody that I think, you know, you can see and say, hey, listen, maybe they're not going to be hugely interested in getting a catcher. Now, I was looking at Moises Belestros. Moises Belestros was one of those guys I said, hey, listen, we already got Yan Gomes. We already got Miguel Amaya. We're pretty solid at that standpoint. I think we're okay. We got Matt Mervis. We already got guys at first base that I believe in. You know, I think we're going to be in a good position to succeed there. But I just don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see why they would want Belestros unless they don't believe in Ethan. But Relatively speaking, I think they do. But his ETA currently is 2026. Moises is only 19 years old. So I would imagine it's relatively the same thing, 2025 earliest. But yeah, man, I just think there's a lot of questions. Not a lot of answers at what they see viewing Ethan in the future. They also have a number 9 prospect, Brandon Velazquez. Pardon me, totally butchered that. Venezuela, Brandon Venezuela. I don't know why my eyes just totally tweaked out. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see Moises being a big part of that. I don't see a guy like Miguel Amaya being a big part of that. Yan Gomes could potentially be a part of that. As a current slider in, you know what I mean? Like somebody they might want right now, you know, to help win. You have Manny Machado, you have Bogarts, you have, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. and all these guys. You need another bat in that lineup. You need somebody you can rely on behind the dish every day. And that could be Yan Gomes. But, you know, a package that I'm looking at right now, a package that I think benefits both sides. Listen, and some people are going to get upset by this, but this is just where I'm coming from with it right off the bat. You know, I want to say Kevin Alcantara, I want to say Pete Crow Armstrong, but me, myself, personally, I am not willing to give up on any of these guys. I am not giving up on James Triantos. I am not giving up on Pete Crow Armstrong or any of them for that specific reason that I believe in these guys so much. I have watched these guys grow. I have watched these guys develop. PCA, obviously, 0-10 to start the year. In his Chicago Cubs debut at Wrigley Field, and that's okay. But I know the future is bright for these guys. I know it. You know what I mean? And I also know if I'm trading PCA, I'm getting guaranteed more than a year of Juan Soto. I'm not doing what they fucking did with Javier Baez in New York when we traded Javier Baez for PCA. They got fucking half a year of Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor, and that was it. You know what I mean? And it's they've had horrible outfielding ever since. And it's something that I think they still, to this day, they bite themselves in the ass over. So if I were to create a package, if I were to create something that I think would benefit both sides and benefit everybody involved, here's a package that I'm willing to do. I'm very curious to see what you guys think. I'm very curious to see how you guys feel. I'm starting it off with Christopher Morel. 26 home runs last year, only less than, what, 110 games played. If this kid played over 130, 140 games, which, by the way, he was not injured at all throughout the entirety of this year. For the majority, he was just not in favor by David Ross. David Ross just didn't want to put him in the lineup. This is a kid that can mash 35 to 40 homers a year easily if you give him the amount of games and the amount of at-bats. 26 in 100-plus games is amazing. So to see what he has the potential to do, who he could potentially be, is very exciting. We already talked about what Morel means, and it's also your DH switch. Boom, that's fixed. Now, here's an arm that I believe they can desperately use, and we have the luxury of giving up. Obviously, Marcus Stroman is likely going to be opting into his player option. We'll have Marcus Stroman. We'll obviously still have Justin Steele, potentially bringing back Kyle Hendricks, Jameson Taillon are going to be here. You have guys like Cade Horton, Ben Brown, you know, Javier Assad, and so many others on the rise. I think we have the luxury and we can afford. And how could I forget Jordan Wicks? I'm truly sorry. How could I forget Jordan Wicks? You have the luxury right now from a starting pitching standpoint to get rid of a guy like Hayden Wesneski. Now, would I love to give up Caleb Killian instead of Hayden Wesneski? Yes, but there is no potential as of right now. There is no value in a guy like Caleb Killian. Hayden Wesneski last year is at a 4.63 ERA with 83 strikeouts, a 1.28 whip, a 3-5 win-loss record, which doesn't really mean anything. But nonetheless, I think there is a lot of potential here for the 25-year-old. You're getting a 25-year-old and another one in Christopher Morel, who I believe is 24, 25, if I'm not mistaken. But really looking at that and understanding, listen, we're getting two young guys, one guy who can pump out 35 to 40 home runs a year, another guy who could potentially be a 3-4 in the rotation if he develops even further. That's great. If not, no problem. You know, you're going to lose Juan regardless, so you might as well get something. And I think for their rotation right now, seeing what could potentially happen with Blake Snell in free agency, it's going to be interesting. It's going to see how much they value the starting pitching market. And obviously a guy like Hayden, who's been solidified as somebody who is up and coming in this league and is MLB ready now, it'll be interesting. And my third guy, just to sweeten the pot, a little cherry on top. Now, obviously, this cherry isn't the biggest cherry in the world, but Brennan Davis. Brennan Davis is somebody to me that I feel like has gotten mixed, who's gotten lost in the sauce in his time in Chicago, going from the number one overall prospect in 2020 and 2021 to all the way to 19 as it currently sits. Kevin Alcantara, Pete Crow Armstrong, so many others, Alexander Canario, Ian Happ, and others have just flown past him in the rankings. Guys like Christopher Morel have even gotten opportunities in the outfield. You know, we're not seeing what we expected out of a guy like Brennan Davis. And on top of that, Seiya Suzuki's success as well. Cody Bellinger being here, potentially Juan Soto. The outfield is just packed. It reminds me so much of the Eloy Jimenez experiment. There's just too many bodies right now, and he's the odd man out. And unfortunately, just like Eloy, Brennan can't stay healthy. Brennan has already had a back surgery. Brennan has had issues. He has been in AAA the last two seasons. And I just feel like what would be best for him, honestly, in my personal opinion, is a trade. It is just somewhere new, somewhere where he can just be himself. He doesn't have that expectation. He doesn't have a timeline. He can just go out there and do what he does, get healthy. Maybe a change of scenery is best. So the full package, Christopher Morel, Hayden Wesneski, and Brennan Davis for Juan Soto, I'm with it. I'm all for it. I think it's a move that, in my personal opinion, would be best for both franchises. Obviously, you know, if the Yankees are offering Volpe or the Martian, then hey, we got out bet. You know what I mean? We got bested. It just is what it is. But at the end of the day, I think it would be very beneficial for both sides. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. And honestly, I think it's not bad for either side. I really do. Now, if the Cardinals enter the hat and they say they want Juan, they already have Arenado, they have Goldie, I'm definitely interested in upping my price just to make sure that doesn't happen. But if it's just between us, the Yankees, and whoever, you know, it is what it is. Now, obviously, we probably won't know that, who the other teams are involved at that time unless it gets released. But, you know, more times than not, I think a guy like this, many teams are going to be checking the availability on Juan Soto. But yeah, man, that's really where I'm at. You know, Christopher Morel, MLB ready now guy. You obviously have Brennan Davis who, you know, he's not damaged goods, but he's kind of just not going to be a part of this organization moving forward, at least in the role that we wanted him to be when he initially first came into the city. And that's not a knock on Brennan either. Like, we just continuously got better and better through the draft and through trading. You know, we just continued to do what we did. Jed did an amazing job trading the core for getting top quality guys. Kevin Alcantara, you're looking at James Triantos, Caleb Killian, Hayden Wesneski. You know, you're looking at guys like Pete Crow Armstrong and bringing in undrafted rookies and guys like Matt Mervis. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. So, you know, to see that happening and to see that going on, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But nonetheless, that's all I really got for you guys on the Juan Soto stuff. How realistic is it? I'm not quite sure. It's going to be interesting. Right now, I'm currently watching the Bulls as they face off the Indiana Pacers. It is 29-30. Bulls ball. Alex Caruso with the game winner the other night. Zach LaVine with 51 points. Absolutely incredible. I have a new article out now on Chicago's state of mind. Go on there, Subtract. Check it out. I wrote an article about the Bulls. Torrey Craig needing to be a part of the starting rotation. Patrick Williams being more efficient off of the bench, in my personal opinion. Got a lot more things going on. If you haven't already, follow the TikTok. We are at 13,700 followers. We're almost at 14,000 followers at theshy.kid. You can also go on Instagram, find me at theshy.kid, or on Mike on the Mic YouTube, or on Mike Hughes on Facebook. Definitely check us out there. I appreciate you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys for always being here. This is Mike Hughes from Mike on the Mic. Go Cubs, baby. Have a very happy, blessed Halloween. I wish you guys nothing but the best. Stay safe, stay warm, stay beautiful. Check you guys out on the next one. Peace.